Well done so far. I've got a little interlude, but I need a volunteer, somebody who doesn't mind standing up in front of people. Come on up. This angel is going to be my volunteer. Tell me your name.
Sarah.
Sarah, come on up. I want you to put some sellotape over your mouth like this. Wait. And another one. Can you imagine having sellotape over your mouth for 9 months? You stand there. Can you imagine it? Would you like that? Well, it wasn't quite like that for Zachariah, because he could eat, but he couldn't speak for 9 months. Can you go, mm-mm? That's about all that Zachariah could do for 9 months. No speaking. If it's not too sore, you can pull it off and sit down now. It's not too bad. That's well done, well done. Thank you very much. He wasn't allowed to speak because he hadn't believed God when God told him his wife Elizabeth was going to have a baby. Too old, he thought. Too old. But then, 9 months later, Elizabeth did have a baby. And all the neighbours thought that it was going to be called after its dad, Zachariah. They thought the name was going to be. Now, Zachariah is a good name. Let me see if I can put this up. Zachariah means God remembers his promise. That's a good name. And they all thought he would be called Zachariah. Have you ever made a promise? Have you ever promised to clean your room? Have you? Have you promised to tidy up the mess or be nice to your brother or sister? Have you promised that? Have you kept your promise? No, I don't think you have. Brian thinks he has. He's the only one, though. No, I think none of us keep our promises very well, but God is somebody who keeps his promise. So Zechariah, which means God keeps his promises, or God makes and remembers his promises, is a good name. Well, poor old Zechariah would have been shaking his head and going, mm-mm, and then he asked for a piece of paper, because he was doing sign language, going, no, don't call him. And he wrote down, his name is John. Now, who knows what John means? John's another good name. Let's put that up. John means a gift of God's mercy. A gift. A present. Now, that's a very good name. And that is exactly what the baby was to Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. A present from God. A gift. So that was a very good name. And as soon as Zechariah wrote down his name as John, then after 9 months he could suddenly speak again. And the first thing he said after 9 months, we've got written down in the Bible, and William Buchanan just read it out for us. Grown-ups, you've got it on a piece of paper in front of you. It's the Gloria, the song Zechariah said the moment he could speak. And I guess they accepted if his name wasn't going to be God promises, but something else, then God gives is a pretty good name. The first thing he says in his song is praise God because he has come to set his people free. Praise God for setting people free. That's what redeemed means. He wrote the boy's name down, John, and then he suddenly could speak and he said, praise God for he has come to set his people free, redeem them. Have you ever been trapped somewhere you didn't want to be? Really? What happened to you, Dylan? Were you trapped at sea or in your room? Well, we were on holiday once and my youngest son, Toby, went to the toilet. It was in a public toilet and he locked the door and then he couldn't open it again. He was trapped and there was no window and there was no way under the door and it wasn't one of those locks that you can open from the outside. He was trapped in prison in the loo. It was awful. And we got very frightened and we went to find some council help and they said they didn't know how to get in there and there was no way to get in. And eventually, well, it took about an hour and a half of fear, but eventually we got him free. Well, trapped behind a locked door, God says we are all trapped in our sin. We do bad things, but Zechariah says God has come and has set his people free. Now that his son John has arrived and his cousin Jesus is on the way, Zechariah knows what's happening. So he says, God has come to set them free. He's a redeemer. He's opened the door, got us out of trouble. Now that's something to shout about. And he sings really loudly and he says, God's come to set his people free. What's God doing? He is setting people free. Second thing. The second thing in the song is a horn. Oh, that's setting people free from the prison bars. The second thing he's come is said he's got a horn. But it's not a French horn. And it's not even a bicycle horn that you can hoot. It is a much, much better horn than that. It's much more like a horn on an animal. Listen to verse 69. He has raised up the horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. There's a horn. That's what he means when he means a horn. Something very big and powerful and strong. And right on the end of it, a pointy, very powerful horn. Like this massive rhinoceros. That's why I put him up there, because I wanted you to think of a massive rhinoceros at Christmas. Bet you weren't thinking of that before, were you? A horn on an animal. Big, huge, heavy animal. Big, huge, heavy head. And on the front of his head, a big, pointy horn. Well, God says he is sending a horn of salvation. That means rescue. Not only has God come and is setting people free, he has come and he is saving people by a horn. So who's the horn? Didn't think Christmas was about a rhino or an elephant or a buffalo with horns. And you're right, it isn't. But think of God's mighty, massive power, bigger than the universe, beyond your wildest dreams. And think of God's mighty plan to set people free, his huge, great plan for millions of people to be forgiven their sin and to be with God forever in heaven. But they need saving first. For that, God needs a pointy end. Something or someone through whom his mighty power can go. Toby. And you know who that horn is? Do you all know who that horn is? Who is the pointy end of God's massive plan to save the world? Joshua knows. Jesus. It's the answer to most questions in here. God has said he's going to come and he's going to break the chains and smash down the doors and set people free using Jesus. So that first Christmas, that little tiny baby in the manger is God's horn of salvation. He doesn't look very pointy or big at the time, does he? He looks pretty small and tiny and weak. And that's one of the problems of Christmas, is nobody realizes that Jesus was going to grow up and be more powerful for good than anyone else in the whole world has ever been. He would heal the sick, open the eyes of the blind, open the ears of the deaf. He would calm the seas with a word, turn water into wine. And greater than all of those things, he would be able to save people from their sin. That's what the horn of salvation is. He saves people who believe in him from their sin. So, there's my powerful, mighty rhino horn. God is setting people free. And we should praise him for his horn of salvation. And the third thing is, he shows mercy. That's in your passage, grown-ups, if you want to have a look at that. Verse 72 and verse 78, God shows mercy. God shows mercy. Now, mercy is getting what is not getting what you deserve. Have you ever been in a car when your daddy or mummy's driving too fast? And you've seen a blue flashing light? And heard a nasty ee-oh behind. Who's had that, children? Put your hand down, Oliver. You haven't had that. And the policeman comes up and says, do you know what speed you are going at, sir? And you say, hypothetically speaking, yes, I was going faster than the speed limit. I know what I deserve, officer. I deserve to be punished. And that's a fine for speeding. You know how much that is? £60. and 3 points on your license. It's very bad news. But what if the officer then looks at you and says, I'm going to not give you what you deserve. You can go. He'd be showing you mercy. You know you deserve to get the fine, but if he let you go, he'd be showing you mercy. And you go, wow, that's amazing. Here's one a bit closer to home. Say you're being a bit too boisterous and you're directly disobeying your parents and you're throwing cushions in the sitting room. Who's done that? Lots of you have done that. Okay, hands down. And your mum or dad says, stop throwing cushions, you could break something, and so you put the cushions down, and then she goes out and closes the door, and you pick up the cushion again and you throw it. And there's a big crash and something breaks. And your mum comes into the room. What do you deserve? What do you deserve, Maxwell? You deserve to have to buy a new one. What happens if it costs £100? That's a lot of pocket money, isn't it? You deserve to be punished if you break something like that. Well, what happens if your mum came into the room, she sees the glass on the floor and the cushion right next to it, and she says, come here, and gives you a great big hug and says, don't worry, I'll pay for it. Would you be getting what you deserve? No, you'd be getting mercy.